यदा हि धर्मश ग्लानिर भवति भारत अद्युतानं मधर्मश तदात्मानं सृजाम्यहम् परित्राणाय साधुना विनाशाय च दुष्कृता धर्म संस्थापना हरेर्नाम हरेर्नामैव केवलम् कलौ नास्त्येव 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 गतिरन्यथा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
हरे कृष्ण वेलकम टू द कृष्ण कॉन्शियसनेस प्रोग्राम And once again, we'd like to remind all the listeners to the Hare Krishna Temple, which is at 1229 Coatesville Riverhead Highway, also known as Highway 28. And today we are having a very special program. We will be celebrating Gopashtami. Gopashtami is the anniversary when Lord Krishna and Balaram were promoted to be cowherd boys. So today all the girls and boys will dress up as Gopals or cowherd boys and will join us in the temple. Please come along, join us and celebrate Krishna Gopashtami and find out for yourself what is Krishna consciousness all about. I'll continue with the Ramayana recital. Dasharatha had been staring too intently into the mirror for a while now. He is becoming so self-absorbed at this age. This is when he should slowly have started becoming detached. At least that's what he had declared today, earlier at the assembly in front of all his citizens. But within the privacy of his chambers, another disturbing aspect of his life tortured him. Reality, he seemed to be struggling to come to terms with. From the time Ram left his palace for his own abode, Dasharatha had been contemplating and unwittingly staring at himself in the mirror. He closed his eyes, hoping to bolt the doors to worries. But what was so he so worried about? Sabotage of the coronation? Something worse? Harm to Ram? No sooner than he shut his eyes, he saw a beautiful pair of lotus-shaped coal-lined eyes. Within teeth, long lashes open up. The eyebrows were arched like the bows releasing arrows through a deadly pair of amber-colored eyeballs. The mere vision of these mesmerizing eyes made Dasharatha jump up with joy. These were the eyes he had drowned in probably millions of times in the past, the eyes he loved more than anything else in the world. Of course, except Ram, every time there was a crisis in his life that could not be solved, every time there was a feeling of emptiness in his heart, and every time he needed to experience love and peace, he would endlessly stare into those eyes. The oceanic peace he found within those eyes was something that he could never explain to anyone. Tonight, he just wanted to immerse himself into the beauty of those eyes and calm his agitated, overworked mind. Dasharatha rushed out of his palace like a very thirsty man at the sight of a well. He felt that he was running toward an ocean, not a well. Queen Kaikeyi was his oceanic source of relief in frustrating times such as this. Dasharatha gazed longingly at the steps leading to Kaikeyi's palace. He realized that he had climbed these steps hundreds of times, and every time he walked down these steps after spending time with Kaikeyi, he had always found himself much more stable and composed. Indeed, she was the one person he had allowed to influence him more than anyone else in his life. The love between them was definitely not one-sided. Kaikeyi always took extreme care and did all she possibly could to receive and save Dasharatha. Every time Dasharatha walked into her palace, an amazing feeling of comfort, care and peace oozed from every corner of the building. Kaikeyi had turned her palace into heaven on earth to please Dasharatha. Sweet, soothing music reverberated through every nook of the palace. Peacocks, parrots and swans of graciously hovered around, adding their melodies to the divine music. Beautiful paintings, ornate furnishing of ivory, silver and gold were strategically placed to rouse a range of emotions among onlookers. Varieties of food and drinks were made available at all times of the day. All of these sensory inducements combined evoked lusty desires even in the dead man. And here was Dasharatha, alive with many expectations. Today, however, was different. Why was Kaikeyi's palace so dark? Why did she not arrange for any special reception today? Why was all the guards and maids avoiding the gaze of Dasharatha? Why was the feeling of comfort he associated with Kaikeyi's palace replaced by an air feeling of insecurity? Where was Kaikeyi? After several inquiries, a nervous maid trembling like a leaf explained to Dasharatha that Kaikeyi had entered the circling chamber a couple of hours ago and had refused to eat or drink or even meet anyone. Dasharatha's heart sank. On this auspicious day when he had come to share the most joyous news with her, what had made her so angry? As Dasharatha descended into the circling room at the basement of Kaikeyi's palace, he was engulfed by the sinking feeling, as if inching closer to some unknown fear with each step. It is funny how like life takes such stupid turns. Only moments ago, while alighting the stairs to meet Kaikeyi, he was so full of hope and security. And now, as he climbed down the stairs of the same building to meet the same person, he was gripped by despair and fear. Suppressing a shriek, Dasharatha was aghast. yet at the sight in the dark, suckling chamber. This couldn't be happening. His mind screamed. He quickly scanned the room to observe as much information as he could to logicalize whatever he saw. Strewn carelessly across the floor were KK's ornaments, amulets and anklets and everywhere. A tiara was flung across the room so hard that it had lost its shape. The delicately framed golden waist belt was now only pieces of gold dangling together after being mercilessly thrashed on the floor. Infinite small particles of gold that had once formed part of the belt were scattered everywhere. What disturbed him most was his dear wife KK's condition. How can a queen lie so dishevelled? Even an ordinary citizen of Ayodhya could not be in this state. She was sprawled across the cold floor like a distorted gold wire, like a creeper separated from the tree. Her usually beautiful cascading soft hair was so tousled that she almost appeared like a ghost. The unusually meticulously dressed KK was today draped in untidy clothes. The flowers from her hair were ripped apart and thrown down in anger. What devastated Dasrath was the sight of her beautiful face, the red vermilion on the parting of her hair to signify her martial status was violently rubbed off, and that on her forehead was smeared across her brow. Lying in distress, KK resembled a fallen angel, or perhaps a tied-up deer, or a jasmine branch devoid of flowers. Her face was covered with the negative emotions of anger, and her mind resembled the starless sky on a gloomy night. Slowly and delicately Dasrath inched towards her, his heart in pain. The couple had actually nothing in common at this point. He was very old and she was young. He was stainless and she was tainted with wickedness. He was like an elephant and she was delicate like a doe. With extreme care, he tried to lift her up, knowing how fragile she was. A tight slap across her arm made him stagger two steps back. Did his wife hit him? How can his ever-loving wife hit him so hard? Why do people who love each other suddenly realize that they have nothing in common? Changes in extremes of relationship occur when there is change in the motto or royalty or loyalty on this internal level. Dasrath was in his usual mood, but something has changed in KK's life that made her different. KK was like a female elephant wounded by the poisonous arrow of a hunter named Mantra, and the poison had not only wounded her, but also driven her mad. The poison of distrust had been injected which changed KK's loyalty towards Dasrath. Dasrath had come to KK seeking happiness and peace, but KK could only think about her own happiness as a result of her discussions with Mantra. Each became self-centric and so had nothing in common. Between two people, the common center has to be selfless love. When this common center is displaced by individual selfish centers, mutual love turns into self-love and lovers into strangers. O most beautiful enchantress, O queen of Ayodhya, I cannot fathom the reason behind your anger. I am extremely hurt to see you in this state, lying there on the cold, barren floor. Why are you hurting your body and my mind by suckling like this? Has anyone disrespected you, causing you misery? Or are you ill? If so, tell me the symptoms and I will order the best royal physician to start treating you immediately. O KK, I am the monarch of the entire earth. I own every corner of a chariot wheel can go. countries I own, like Sindhu, Savir, Saurashtra, Vangam, Angar, Magad, Matsya, Kashi, and Kaushal, are filled to the brim with unlimited opulence. All my people and I are subservient to you. You have more authority over my authority over this kingdom. Your wish is my command. Demand what you want, and I shall deposit it at your feet. Even the smallest desire you hold is like a precious, unpolished diamond. Allow me the opportunity to make these diamonds sparkle in the sunlight. Do you want me to do anyone a favor? Do you want me to pick a fight with someone? I can render mercy even to the most undeserving soul just for you. I can come down heavily on someone honest and genuine just at your bidding. KK, for you I am willing to kill an innocent person and release a prisoner on the death row. I could make a poor person rich and a rich person poor if you so decide. You are precious to me. KK, trust me, just like the sun rises to melt away all the mist, I will chase away all your fears. You just need to name them. Just utter your desire once and see your husband fulfilling it in jiffy. KK broke into a subtle smile, seeing that Dasrath felt relieved that at least there was some reaction. Oh Lord, a desire has arisen in my heart like the moon on a dark night. If I am assured of your promise to get me this moon, I will speak up. With this statement, KK instantly filled Dasrath with hope, and he lovingly caressed her silky hair. Oh KK, I may be the lord of the world, but you are the mistress of my world. Don't you know that I gave myself to you long ago? Why do you need such a promise? There is nothing dearer to me than you except Ram. If this is what will make you peaceful and reassured to speak your heart out, I swear on Ram that I will fulfill any desire of yours. Ask, KK, ask. As if jolted by a surge of electric current, KK sprang up and dramatically raised both her hands towards the ceiling, and facing it, she spoke rapidly and her voice gradually wrenching a crescendo. Today, the Lord of Ayodhya, King of Dasrath, has made a promise. I invoke all the celestials to come and bear witness to this oath. O Agni, come along with 33 celestials. O Sun God, O Moon God, O God of the skies, O God of houses, I invoke your presence here. I call the planets, the day and the night, the eight directions, the universe, the earth is personified, the Gandharvas, the demons, the spirits are wandering in the nights, and all other spirits, come on. Come all to bear witness to this matchless vow my husband has made. Dasrath was bewildered by KK's drama, but his wife was totally involved and was very serious. In fact, he had never seen her as serious as this ever before. She continued in the same tone, Maharaj, do you remember once long ago, during your war with Sambhasur, I had assisted you and saved your life twice? Dasrath instantly responded, of course I do. Of course I do, KK, and that's precisely why my love for you has grown so much. Having seen your desire to save me without caring for your own life, I still remember the agony on your face while supporting the wheel of my chariot with your delicate fingers. Why do you recall that incident now? Dasrath There is a connection, a deep connection, as a mark of gratitude. You had promised me two boons, which I had kept safe with you to claim another day. The time is now, Maharaj. Keke's eyes squinted menacingly, reflecting her determination, one that had not even surfaced while driving Dasara's chariot to fight some battle. What could be driving such a mood in her? Dasara wondered. Of course, Keke, don't hesitate to ask, Dasara was like a deer that entered a hunter's trap, lured by the hunter's sweet flute. With the firstborn, I claim the throne of Ayodhya for my son Bharat. And with the second, I want Ram to be exiled to the forest of Dandakaranya for 14 years, where he will live like an ecstatic wearing tree bark, deer skin, and have matted hair. That's all I want, O King. The two vows struck him like daggers on his back. As if not satisfied with striking her husband twice, she continued speaking about how truthfulness is important for a king and how Dasara should not abandon it under any condition. Keke was digging the daggers deeper and into the already wounded Dasara, taking away his very life. Dasara's legs felt weak. He could no longer stand. Dasara sprawled on the floor of the silken chamber, and Keke stood over him, staring at him without compassion and full of anger. How life changes within moments. He had come to pacify her, but who will pacify him now? Let us ponder over a few minutes about what transpired as Dasara lay unconscious. Have you ever wondered why pubs are dark and classrooms bright? Why are pictures of people with mighty muscles put up in gyms and pictures of beautiful people put up in beauty parlors? Why are pictures of people with good smiles hung in dentist chambers? The environment thus created influences the mindset and decisions of people. Obviously, one enters a gambling den with the desire to win wealth. An environment of ignorance is created to facilitate wrong decision-making. If this is coupled with overconfidence and lack of proper guidance, then one loses everything. The two biggest epics of India have a common theme. In both Ramayana and Mahabharata, the stories revolve around decisions made in wrong environments. Influenced by misplaced priorities and with extreme overconfidence. Here in Ramayana, Keke created an environment of ignorance and darkness into which Dasara entered with lust and desire in his heart. He was overconfident about his ability to satisfy any of his desires. He made her a promise without considering the consequences. He did not consider consulting with anyone before making the vow. In his craving to experience momentary pleasure, he accepted the gift of lifetime misery. In Mahabharata, Satyavati created an environment of ignorance and darkness into which Bhishma entered, wanting to satisfy the lust and desire of his father, King Santanu. Again, Bhishma was overconfident about his abilities to satisfy her desires. He took a vow of lifelong celibacy, not getting married all his life. He took this vow without considering the consequences, nor did he think of consulting anyone before making the promise, wanting to give his father experiences of momentary pleasure. He awarded the gift of a lifetime of misery to the entire kingdom, including himself. Satyavati wanted to secure the kingdom for her to-be-born sons. The only obstacle was Bhishma, the elder son of King Santanu. By taking a lifelong vow of celibacy, he assured Satyavati that only his sons would rule. But later, that very vow became the cause of anxiety for Satyavati and Bhishma when Satyavati's sons died, leaving no heir.
Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Ram Hare Ram, Ram Ram Hare Hare.
Krishna Hare.